The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
I want to introduce our special guests. We're starting a new series today called Dream Again. And our special guest this morning is a man by the name of Mark, and I love his last name particularly. His first name's biblical, Mark, and his last name's biblical, Pentecost. He's an entrepreneur, he's an author, he has a brand new book that is just coming out entitled Life of Your Dreams, and we'll share a little something about this that will bless you. But when I think about Mark and his family, the whole Pentecost family, and we have some of the family that are with us today, Kenzie and Kyler are sitting down on the front row, Mark's daughter and his son-in-law. We're so delighted to have y'all. We love you. Really appreciate you so much. He started a company from a dream. He had a dream and started a company that exploded. It's been featured in Forbes magazine, Time magazine, Success magazine, The Wall Street Journal. Over 100,000 distributors of his product into 20 nations. He's been married for 47 years to his incredible wife, Cindy. She wasn't able to be here, but she's watching, I'm sure. Cindy, we love you. We thank God for you. She's his secret sauce. She's a prayer warrior. Her ministry is prayer and worship. She sends Sharice music videos of worship and sends me music videos of worship. And we just love them. We thank God for them. They're grandparents. But more than that, they love this church. They started watching online from Florida, and they fell in love with this church. And they have been massive, massive blessings to this ministry in ways that it's hard to even explain or understand. And I want you to give Mr. Pentecost, Mr. Mark Pentecost, a big, warm welcome this morning. He's coming up. God bless you. Well, Mark, you started out, and listen, our goal here today, and I'm telling you this is of the Lord because it was confirmed in the first service, there's no telling what God's going to do if you'll open your heart. You started out in education. You were a school teacher, math teacher. Tell us about your beginning.
Well, we're hoping today through this story, if you're feeling stuck or you're feeling like there's more, that you're gonna feel that today. So I was teaching school, coaching basketball, not for like a semester, like 16 years. But I felt like there was something more. And I didn't know it at the time. I think there's dreamers of the night are people that dream and then they wake up and go on about. I think dreamers of the day get up and take action. And it's like a vision. And, you know, my kids were growing up and they'd say, hey, Daddy, can somebody at school need some help with some shoes or a coat? And can we help them? And I thought, they don't know how hard we're trying. I mean, we had more bills and cash at the end of the month. And yet there was something there. I think some of you know that. And I think life gets hard sometimes and we quit dreaming. And, you know, it doesn't matter the size of the dream. We were talking about it. I think dreaming is a muscle. The more you use it, the bigger it gets. Our dreams back then was a few extra dollars a month to pay our bills. And people say, oh, that was a small dream. No, that was a big dream at the time. Today, our dreams are totally different. And I think as you feel God's calling and dreaming, so I left teaching. I found out I was pretty good at selling, and then left teaching, which was a big step because I'd gone to college to be a teacher. And you're thinking, I call them dream killers, people that say stuff to you like, uh-oh, that'll never work. Or, no, that you can't do that. It's so real out there, the dream killers. And when I left teaching, this is where I know the Lord has a sense of humor. The very next month, my money went down. And I started thinking all that stuff, all that, oh, no, people are going to laugh. They're going to say I left my family destitute. And yet, like 2 months later, it just started exploding. And we decided to start our own business. It was truly amazing. I think I like telling the story because it wasn't like this. It was like this. You'd go up a little bit, you're excited, and you go down a little bit, and like, oh, can I do this? And I think it's a journey that we get to talk about.
So you go from, and teachers are amazing, and they're called of God, and all of us wouldn't be who we are without incredible instructors and teachers, I know. But something in you felt like there was more, and at some point, you do have to step in. When God gives you a dream, you do have to step into the unknown. You move out of what's safe, what's secure, into the unknown, but you hear and you sense God saying, there's more. So when you took that step of faith, how did you know that was the time? How did you know that was the moment that you needed to do it?
Great question. I had set a bar. If we could have reached this level, I would step out and do this. So we reached that bar, and I moved it. I said, well, wait a minute. I got to pay for my own insurance. I need a little extra.
Good work for 16 years as a teacher,
yeah.
Right? So, that was security.
Yeah.
That was...
Yeah. And the way sometimes, I hate the word normal, but kind of the normal way you were supposed to do things. Go to college, take a job, work 30 years, and so I kept moving that number to make sure, well, I got to pay my own benefits. Summers I won't have off now. And so I kept moving it till finally I had a good friend say, you said, and you've gone past that. Come on, Pentecost, when are you going to do it? And so we kind of talking there, you know, I had to say it out loud a few times. I had to hear myself say it before I believed it.
So at that moment, when you hit that goal, you said, you and your wife prayed about it and you went for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's very uncomfortable with saying anything, but I'm saying things that are in his book that he tells amazing stories about. And, you know, it goes from you starting out with nothing but a dream and a praying wife and you loving the Lord, wanting to provide for your family, to a billion-dollar plus, being in Forbes magazine. How does that happen? Where do we see these dreams in our life begin to become a reality? You talk about one of the chapters that's powerful. Live on the offense. What is that about?
Great. I'm glad you called that one out because I think in life we live on the defense. You get punched. You know, we work so hard, we just get ahead and a car make a funny noise or the washing machine is not working. And you go step forward, a step back, a step forward. And as a coach, those of you that like sports, you'll know, you know, when they go to prevent defense in football because you have a lead and you're just going to, it never works. The other team scores, you lose. And it's banding. But when you're on the offense, I tell my family all the time, when you're on the offense and you score, you get to do the end zone dance. So our family practices are what we're going to do once we accomplish something. We'll talk about a dream board. You know, we put up what we want. And when we do it, we'll take time to celebrate it. And so for us, it truly being on the offense, you're going to get punched. You know, people will say to me, Mark, you're so lucky. And yet, again, it wasn't like this. You know, I remember one time in my office praying, Lord, I can't handle this no more. If you'll take it away, please. And I think back how close I was to saying no more. And yet we didn't have a plan B. So we just had to figure out a different turn of the dial, a different Rubik's Cube, how to figure it out. And going on the offense, instead of taking punches, you're giving punches and you're attacking. And it may not always work, but you're laying it out there.
And when you talk about in the book, find your people, how important is it that you begin to associate? I've found that I only change in my dream when I meet other people that are doing more than I'm doing. By the people I meet or the places I go.
That's powerful. I have a whole chapter on surround yourself with the right people. And I'll tell you this. Maybe some of your dreams haven't happened, not because you did something wrong, but I say dreams planted in the right environment can thrive. In the wrong environment, they can die. So maybe your dream hasn't come true, not because something you did wrong, but maybe you're surrounding yourself. I was a basketball coach, so I call it the starting five. I want the five people on the court with me playing, support me, can help me. You know, we talk about different types of people. Some people can't help themselves. They're dream killers. They're going to say, you can't do that. What are you thinking? Or what? What are you doing? And sometimes it's their own issues, but they put it on you. And so you got to be careful. Even when I started my business, the business owners, you don't want to hire dream killers. Dream killers are people that have never done it, and they're very negative. You want, I call them dream clingers, people that have done it and are positive. Pastor is a dream clinger. I want to cling to him because he inspires me, and he says, you can do it. And he cheers me on along with saying, maybe you should talk to these people. So, you know, sometimes it might be someone hasn't done it, but they're positive. You can surround yourself with those. I didn't grow up in business. My parents from Tennessee, they moved up to Michigan, got jobs at the factory. And so we didn't have a background of business or people that run businesses. So I needed to surround myself with some business people or someone that, so I was always looking for someone that had done what I wanted to do. So important. We used to tell our kids that, you know, watch who you hang out with. And yet it's so important as us at every age, who you surround yourself with.
And what I believe that happens too is when you get around dreamers, you start dreaming again. You start believing. That's what we're praying for during this series, that people will dare to dream again, that young people, that our teenagers, I really believe this, that a dream, that they don't need more discipline necessarily. Sometimes they need more direction. Mm. And that goal, that dream will keep them away from drugs, keep them away from the wrong people, keep them away from the wrong direction. That when you have a dream that is guiding your life, you just automatically start saying, I can't go that direction. If I do, I won't get to where I know God wants me to go. And that's the power of your point of that chapter, is the right people, mentors and teachers in our life. Mentors is someone who's done what you're trying to do. They release protection. They release provision. Yep. They release promotion. In your life. When you get a mentor, those three things get released in your life. I had been raised in small churches all my life. Nothing wrong with small churches. God uses them mightily. But God's plan for our life was to reach many people, as many as we could reach. And I'll never forget it. Tommy Barnett asked me when I was just in the other buildings. I was not on TV. I was not known. I was not. And he asked me to come preach on a Sunday night at his massive 6,000 seat sanctuary in Phoenix. And I got around him and I stayed there for a day or two. And I walked around with him and it enlarged my whole world. And I saw a church like that. You have to see it
That's right.
In the eye of faith before you can accomplishment. It's so important to see it, as you have one chapter in your book about that.
That's so good. You know, I found out I could sell. I didn't know that. I guess as a teacher and a coach, you're always selling, but I didn't know that. So Cindy and I was working with a sales company to make a little extra money, and we wanted to make $500 a month. That would give us enough to pay our bills and have some cash instead of just bills left at the end of the month. And we did that, and it was so exciting. But we went down to their convention, and I saw a teacher, coach, walk across the stage, and he got a check that month for $10,000. My goal changed. Instead of $500, I went, he did it. He don't look any different. So we changed to $10,000. And so we encourage people when they join a company, we do something called a dream board. And we have them sit down and say, what are your dreams? Might be traveling. It might be their own business. It might be date night. It pay their bills off. Maybe it's a new car. We will put it down. Oh, they got a dream board up there. That's my dream board in my office. And it's funny because when they first start doing it, it's like dipping your toe in the water and see if it's cold. They do little dreams. But they'll come back, and we coined this word a redream, because they're like, I want to redo my dream board, because now they realize they can come true. Because when you see it, and for me, I didn't know this about myself. Our company was in Michigan, and I started thinking about moving it to Florida. It was people didn't want to visit Michigan in the winter. I don't know what was wrong with that, but I didn't know you could be warm in the winter. I would have gone sooner, but income tax wasn't, you know, there wasn't any for state. And so I started going around the office to my employees saying, I'm going to move the company to Florida. Hey, what do you think about moving? I thought I was convincing my staff. We moved 25 families from Michigan to Florida when we first started a business. But I realized I was saying it to myself. I was convincing. So one of the things I like to say is, the dream that will make you most proud is the one you're afraid to say out loud. And I think a lot of you have a dream in here you've been kind of stuck on. And I think today's the day that you, in front of the mirror at home, in front of your phone, you dare challenge you to say the dream that you've wanted it forever. It's a seed inside you, but you've been afraid of it. And I want you to say it out loud, because that'll be what makes you proud.
When I felt called to preach, my greatest fear was to tell and announce it. Mm. Because once you do that, and your friends, your family, they don't take you serious if you back up. And it commits you. And I was afraid to say it. And I'll never forget the night that I walked into the room, and I told my dad. My brother was sitting there, my dad, a couple of my brothers, and I said, God's called me to preach. And then I went and told my mom. And it was something that was so freeing about that, but at the same time, it's like doing away with plan B, plan C. Yep. You're committed now.
Yep.
And that's what I did. I committed myself to ministry, and that's where the miracles start happening. You move from the safe zone to the faith zone when God gives you a call. And you can act like dreams aren't spiritual. You can act like this isn't a spiritual conversation if you want to, but why would God not care about what you do with most of your life, time, and energy? Building a business, building a career in what God has called you to do in the field that He has called you to do it in is extremely spiritual. And God wants to lay His hand. He said, I'll bless the work of your hands. Mm. And He does that first by giving us a dream of something beyond where we are.
Yes.
And I really think that we minimize one of the real benefits of the Holy Spirit is the Bible. Everybody talks about, well, what happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, read the book of Joel and it'll tell you what happens. The Bible, one of the first things it says, and in the last days I'll pour out my spirit, and everybody thinks that's a revival in church.
Mm.
And the old men will dream dreams.
Mm. I love it.
And the young men will get a vision. They'll get out of the basement. They'll quit playing games on video. They'll have a vision for their life. They'll have a discipline. They'll have a direction. And it comes from the Holy Spirit. He gives dreams. He gives visions. Mm. They'll get married.
I love that. You know, I had a, what really kind of inspired me was I had a single mom. Her name was Crystal. She had three kids. She was working like three jobs. And she said to me, she had joined at work. She had made a dream board. And she said, Mark, I'd quit dreaming. She goes, I didn't think I had time for it. I'm working three jobs. I'm trying to put food on the table for my kids. But she said, listening to dream boards and talking, I realized I wasn't dreaming. But worse, because I wasn't, my kids weren't dreaming. Mm. And she said, wow. I'll never forget that. She said, Mark, I want you to know, I'm dreaming big now, and my kids are dreaming.
Come on.
And I think that's what we get to.
That's it. Mm. That's it. That's so powerful. Because a dream is multi-generational that God gives. It never stops with one generation. This is the point I'm trying to make. It's not your dream. It's God's dream. Mm. If you believe that, it's a multi-generational dream that will affect your children's children. The Bible said a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That's not just cars and land and money and all of that. That's great if you can do that. But you also are imparting a dream.
Right.
And showing and modeling, I love that. That is so powerful. You talk about dream boards. What's funny, if they put that picture up, and I'm going to tell this because I want to qualify this dreamer. He dreamed of a ranch, and he started with a few acres, and he has 10,000 acres and thousands of cattle and on it, and it's crazy. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. That's his ranch. He had a dream of an island, and he's got Pentecost Island now. It's a beautiful island, and it's unbelievable, and it'll change your... But beyond all of that, what they have done with the dream is built hospital wings and built entire schools and built cancer research and then something weird happened to us. We get a call. I start getting a call from somebody who says they're Mr. Pentecost. And this was during the pandemic. We had shut down completely, and we would come in and I would preach to 3,000 empty seats. And it was an extremely discouraging time. And the Easter of the first year of the pandemic, President Trump tweeted out, I'm going to watch Jensen Franklin and Free Chapel this Sunday for inspiration on Easter Sunday. Why don't you join in and tune in with me or something like that? I was on a flight coming. I was flying, and when we landed on Delta flight in Atlanta, my phone blew up. And the next thing we knew, we had that morning 1 million viewers plus watching live. Yep. And there was a couple, it really hurt my feelings, because there was a couple that was watching. And this is what he told me when he talked to me. He said, I never heard of you. I never watched you on TV. I never read one of your books. I didn't know anything about you. Had no idea or clue who you were. And I'm, wow. And he said, the only reason we watched was because President Trump said watch, and said we wanted to see, well, what kind of person does he listen to that he might. You know, God can use anybody to bless you. Don't think all your blessings are going to come from holy people in the church. Sometimes God will use a casino owner. Sometimes God will use, he can use whoever he wants. He tweets out, then they call, and Natasha, my assistant, comes in, and she says, this man named Mr. Pentecost, blah, blah, blah. And I get on, and all of a sudden, this man starts saying what the ministry said we've been watching for over a year, he and his wife, every Sunday from that Sunday, and they started blessing this church. And we bought the Midtown campus, or were dreaming of buying it. And I announced it in one of those services, and that's what got him the call. And he said, well, we want to be a part. And we want to pay half of what that downtown Atlanta property is going to cost. And if you don't know what downtown Atlanta costs, Midtown. And he said, why don't you challenge the people that will do a matching fund up to this amount? And you crazy people, it's your fault. We keep dreaming. It's your fault because you took that challenge and you went all the way up. We saw our resources go crazy, and we went into that brand new downtown campus that is outgrowing itself quickly. We went into it debt-free for the glory of God, and that's what a dream can do. Did you ever dream when you were starting, you never dreamed that you would be funding cancer research for children? And
no.
I mean, just the enormous amounts of resources that you guys just have blessed, not just us, many other churches, many other nonprofits.
All right. Don't take away our crowns in heaven. We're not. My wife will be mad. She's like, we're supposed to say that. We're going to get that in heaven.
You're not. I am.
There. Good. Thank you for that. No. You know, I'm thinking about three things in my head, and just first of all, when we're talking about surrounding yourself with the right people, I think Free Chapel's a very special place. And getting to know Pastor and spend some time with him, his family, you know, I've got to work with quite a few, Drake and Aaron, and then the people here. I think I saw Chad and Bonnie over here. They made us feel at home. And Welburns, they're just crazy people that make you feel good and laugh and appreciate them. But you got a special home here. And when you say surround yourself, man, I think today in this service, we're going to talk about dreaming a whole nother level. I think Free Chapel is going to go, you do great things already, amazing. This guy's such a real deal. But I think you've got them positioned to just make such a difference in the world. And I think there are people in here right now, yeah. I never thought we could, you know, I had someone say to me, when is enough enough? And I had to think about that because, you know, yeah, we came from teaching and coaching nothing to, yeah, ranch and island, whatever. And it wasn't about the stuff. It was about how we could entertain and inspire other people. I'll hear him saying on the island, he was a teacher. And it's got him dreaming again. Yes. And I think I had to really pray about when is enough enough, thinking, was I doing something wrong? And I remember it was someone, you know, close to me. And I remember just sleeping on it. And the next day I felt like God said, enough enough is never enough when there's still people that need help, poverty, cancer to cure, schools to build. Yeah. If I had stayed teaching and coaching, it would have been a great life. And we would have, you know, my players still call me, and they say all my success is because of the hard time they gave me back when I was coaching them. And yet, I think of the difference we can make today. God has dreams in some people in this room that literally can change the world. Dreamers change the world. Not dreamers of night, dreamer of the day. Dreamer of the day that gets up and says, let's go.
Yes. Mm. Dreamers change the world.
Yeah.
When you dare to dream, you talk about the secret sauce. Mm. What is your secret sauce in one of the chapters? I think it's the seventh chapter, the bonus chapter. You talk about the secret sauce. What is that?
Well, you know, our company's not, we're able, I love in America, you can still, you know, we have a worship night before we have our big convention. And we've had up to, I don't know, 12, 15,000 and we get 90-95% people come on the optional worship night. And I've seen so much movement there. And I think God has put that in us to just live every day like you're living. And so when I think of secret sauce, I used to think I would tell our people, you know, you give and then your hands are out and God will bless you back. I was kind of raised with that. But somewhere along, I told Pastor, I realized, you know, I keep saying dreaming's a muscle. I started with a smaller dream and got confident and got bigger and got bigger. Now I tell my grandkids, I don't do this for them to say, wow, Papa. I do it so they stand on my shoulders and go to the next level. And that is what excites me is so we give not to receive. We give to give more to give more. And, you know, if you tell me what we're giving today, it just, it's numbers that blow my mind because I never think we could do that. But I've seen God over and over tell my wife, he speaks quite often through here. I don't know, husbands, if you have wives that God speaks through and tells you something and you're like, whoa, 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 that could be painful. And she's had a few that I've like, wow, that's stretching me. And then the next year, something happens in the market or the business, and that quarter we make the exact amount. It blows my mind. I don't know why it blows my mind. God does it over and over again. But so I think you get to give and you start really enjoying it and you see a difference it makes and you want to give more and you want, and just like dreaming's a muscle, I think giving's a muscle. The more you dream or the more you give, the more you give and the more you can give. And it changes the world.
You invited Sharice and I and Pastor Tracy and Becky to come to the island, and we went just to get away, just to take a break, just to dream. That's what you said. You said, I want us to come and sit down and just dream. And I'd never met anybody like you. I'd never met anybody that like these kinds of conversations. And one of the moments that impacted us, that had you not had your dream, it really impacted us. And we were going to dinner, and to get off that island, you get on a boat and you ride across a beautiful body of water to the restaurant. And we had gone through the pandemic, coming out of the pandemic, but Sharice and I and our whole family, it's no secret, we've shared that we went through the darkest season of our lives thus far. It was like a wrecking ball hit our family. It tore our hearts out. And it was dark. We almost lost one of our children to prescription drugs that wanted to take our life. We woke up to a nightmare in many, many ways. Our hearts were grieving for our family, and we couldn't shake it. It was so dark. It was so deep. It was layer after layer. And all of you have been there. If you haven't, life will hit you real quick, real fast, in a way you never saw coming. And we had pretty much said to ourselves, I don't know, maybe this is it. Maybe it's time for us to do something else. Maybe this is detrimental or something. Maybe we need a change. And we were on the back of that boat riding to eat. And your wife is real, real spiritual. You're spiritual, but you're spiritual and you're cool and fun. And he lives life to the max. He's an adventurer. He's an athlete. He's a hunter. He's a wild man. He's funny. And he just turns on a country song on the beautiful boat that he had. What was the name of the song?
Living.
Some days you're living. And he just starts, he turns, and he didn't know the moon was shining. And he wasn't paying me and Sharice any attention. But he's just on the end of that boat. And he had his cowboy hat on, his cowboy boots. And he's got some moves like Jagger.
It was not a pretty sight.
And I'm looking at this silhouette in the moon, and I'm watching him dance, and I'm watching him turn around and smile to that song. And I look over at Sharice, who has been damaged like only a woman, a mother, a grandmother can bear some things like y'all have to bear them. And she had tears streaming down her face. And then it hit me, and we realized it's okay to live again. It's okay to dance and be happy even though everything in our life may look like a mess. We can't probate living and going on and keeping on and dreaming and believing for a better tomorrow, because God's got a better tomorrow. And in that moment, that's what hit us. That's exactly what hit us. That's what a dream will do for you. Now you listen to me. The reason kids are killing themselves, the reason suicide is going off, they do not have a dream. God can give you a dream. God made you, and He puts desires in you. Geese wouldn't fly south if they wouldn't have a desire to fly south if there was not a south to fly to. If something in you desires more, that's God saying, it's out there, but I need you to trust me and surrender to me and give me everything that you've got. I'll make you dance again. I'll make you smile again. Life will beat you down. And I heard the Lord say, when I ask you to come and talk, that it's time for people and families and marriages to dream again. To not settle for what Satan says you have to settle for.
Amen. Amen. I decided I wasn't going to do a book. We started doing it and right before COVID, and I didn't like it. We let it set. And then my daughter Kenzie's here today, and she got my son Kyler and said, "Dad, you got to finish your book." And I had, you know, we were flying high, a lot of great stuff, and I got a call from the doctor on a freak test and said, "Hey, we have an issue. You have cancer." And so I had to go through that journey, and it was dark. And but I got to thinking, I want to make sure my grandkids know what we've done, and that I didn't do it to be a one-off. I did it because I want them to take it to another level. And I make up words. I like making up words. So we have, "That's a good idea. That's a great idea." Then we have a whole nother level idea. And I wanted them to know, I want our lives to be a whole nother level. And so I got thinking about even grandkids I don't know. I want them to know about it. So Kenzie said, "Hey, Dad, we're going to get this thing done." And so we were working on it. And for me, it's all those things you just said about getting people that are stuck unstuck, for people to know it's spiritual, that God's given you a dream inside. Yeah. For you to go, maybe you've been living good, but is there great? And then is there a whole nother level? And I was saying, Pastor, Free Chapel is a special place. And I think there's some of you in this room. When I looked at, you know, I didn't want to do a book to put it out there and do money thing, but Kenzie said, "Well, Dad, if you do it, just give it all to research cancer." And so we're working with the V Foundation. We work with Moffitt, and then 2 weeks before Christmas, found out I'd come out of remission. So so I realized we live in the dash. You're born, you go, and that dash is where it counts. And I realized I was so focused on whatever project or winning the finish line instead of focused on that living in there. And we threw a big party for It Works. We were 23 years old now. And I said to Kenzie, I have to be careful what I say to her because she takes it literally. I said, "We can't wait 20 years to have another big party. So we're about to have a big party. We're going to celebrate the book coming out, crazy dreams everybody has, beating cancer's butt again." And I think we all got it. God says it's all right to celebrate. And I'm excited to do that. Last Wednesday, and even in here, a lot of you have been praying for us. I got some great news, so I'm excited. I called Pastor and said, "Hey, you're stuck with me longer. We're going to really get out there and dream big."
Praise God. Praise God. Got a great report. To God be the glory. I want every person 30 and under to stand to your feet. 30 and under to stand to your feet. I'm in a different season. He's in a different season. God put us in your life today.
You're watching this by television. You're watching this at all of our campuses. You're watching this on the internet, wherever you are, maybe in a rehab, maybe in a prison. I know our prisoners are watching, and you're our prisoners, and we love you. You can dream in a prison. Joseph had a dream in the prison. Now, here's what I want to say. Listen carefully. Bill, come, please. When we first start out, we start out with inspiration. And then you have to gather information to make a dream happen. You become an expert in something. You begin to focus on, Paul said, one thing I do. You give it all you've got. You get in that lane, like he said, and you fight through everything. But then there's, after the inspiration and the information, and you reach a dream place in your life, a peak in your life, not that you can't go from peak to peak, because you can. But the stage and the reason that I'm doing this series and I'm going to do it for the next couple of weeks is because I want to go beyond inspiration and inspiring you and information and feeding you the Word of God. I want to go to impartation. That's where God imparts the spirit of a dreamer in you. Because you're the greatest generation. You're the ones that hell has tried to destroy with everything that he's got, including a hellish pandemic of mental illness that came out of that, and addiction and brokenness and fatherlessness and broken, dysfunctional families. And so the enemy says, you don't have a dream and you'll never have a dream. That's a lying demon that's telling you that. God has a mighty, it'll be beyond you. It will require the supernatural help of God. Somebody's always thinking of you that's capable of greatly blessing you. All you need is the favor of God. And when God favors you, the door opens, the blessing of God, and you'll walk through the fire. You can't build a mighty dream for God that's going to, because the dream is not about you. The dream is about others. And if in the process you got ambition, the Lord will take you through such fires, which you have to have ambition, quite frankly, to do anything. We need a generation to get ambitious for God. And then it moves from ambition to godly vision. But he purifies the dream in the process. And I believe today for you that God is, even while this man has been, you're talking about the God of exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think. That's how he defined himself in the book of Ephesians. So have you settled? Are you thinking too small? Let the Holy Spirit stir you up. Let the Holy Spirit tell you the dream again. Let the Holy Spirit awaken the dream in you again. Let the Holy Spirit, and all of you who say I'm too old, who are sitting to dream again. Colonel Sanders was 70 years old when he started chicken licking finger good chicken, which some of you, that's all you've had your mind on while I've been preaching right now. Come on. Caleb was 85 and he said, give me this mountain. Some of you seniors ought to go buy you a three-wheel Harley Davidson. Don't get the two-wheel. Get one of those three-wheelers. And if you're a widower, get out there and live it up. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. It's never too late to dream. And I'm tired of the enemy telling us that we have to settle. And I commission you in the name of Jesus to get a dream, get a direction, and it comes from getting Jesus number one in your life.
You can be seated, but you're important. I'm done. So everybody get still and get quiet. This is the most important part of the service right here. This morning in the 9 o'clock service, there were so many people that came to give their heart to Jesus, because I believe that all of you feel something stirring deep in your heart, that your dream may be to see your family saved. Your dream may be to see a house that you can pass on to your, that's very spiritual. I don't like people saying that doesn't matter. God told Israel when they went into the promised land, you'll live in homes you didn't build. That's part of my blessing on your life. I'll give you goodly houses, that Deuteronomy said, nice house. What's wrong with dreaming? God has no shortages, and He's a good father that likes to take care of His children. Say, I'm going to have one. And if you need transportation, He's got your car. I'm telling you, it's all in Jesus. That's what I'm trying to say. And I don't serve Him for cars. I don't serve Him for house. But what I've found that if you put Him first, all of these blessings will overtake you. It's just part of being a dreamer and doing what God's called you to do. And it's not about that. That's not why He's here. You don't know His heart. That's not why. The reason that we are here today is God says your dream is important to Him. It's not your dream. Quit thinking about it like that. It's His dream. Why wouldn't you believe for great things? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you would say, Pastor Jensen, I need a change in my life. I need a new direction in my life. I'm going in the wrong direction and I know it. And I need a turnaround moment in my life. I know that I was made and born for more than what I'm doing with my life. And I've kind of lost my hope and I've kind of been stuck in this place. And I've kind of just almost buried my dreams. But I want to pick them back up today, and I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. I want Jesus to lead me, guide me into what He put me here on this earth to do. Please pray for me. If that is you and you know it, I want you to lift your hand as high as you can right where you're sitting. There's a hand, hands, 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 hands. Amazing, 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 amazing. At every campus, just lift your hand high. Every one of you that raised your hand, I know this is a little different, but I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to walk right through that row, and I want you to come stand right down here as quick as you can get down here. Just as quick as you can get down here. Here they come. Here they come. Here they come. Come on. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. Come on. Come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. Come on, husband. Come on, wife. Come on, teenager. Come on, college student. Come on. Come on. Here they come. Give them a big hand. Look at that. Look at the young men. Look at the young women. Look at what God's doing. He's got a plan. He's got a dream. You can't give up on it. It's so much more than what you think it is. I love this. Come on, move quickly. The king's business takes haste. Move quickly. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Go back to the last song that you sung, whatever that was, out during the praise and worship team. Keep coming. Keep coming. Get them in. Get them in, ushers. Get them in. I want them down here as quick as we can get them in. Come on. Come on. If you're coming in from the overflow, come on in from the overflow. Everybody stand to your feet, please. And I don't want you to leave yet, because we're going to pray over your dream in just a moment. I'm not just prolonging this, but I want you to lift up your hands. And when you do it, you're lifting up that dream that you might have buried. That thing, that maybe you're in a new season and you retired and, And now you're wondering, what am I going to do at this season? God has a new dream and a new purpose for this part of your life. And I just believe He knows how to make you a mentor to somebody that you can really, really use everything you've been through. Lift those hands high and say, God, I'm open. I'm open to new ideas. I'm open, Lord, to your direction. I'm open. Everybody pray this prayer. Those of you who've come down front, I mean, look at the men, look at the young men, look at the young women. You know why you moved? Because we were speaking to the eternal part of you that says, God, I want to do your will. I know what you spoke to me, and this isn't it. And so I surrender to your ability and your power, not my will, but yours be done. So pray this prayer. Everybody say, Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me. You hung on the cross. You carried my sin, and I receive your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And right now, Lord, I'm going to rise from the dead. And the dream that you've given me is coming up out of the grave. In Jesus' name, Lord, I receive your direction. I receive your will. I receive your help. And I'm telling you, I receive the open doors. Bring into my life the right people. Get the wrong people out and the right people in. Let me meet some people that will impact me in such a way that I'll see a bigger world. I'll live a bigger life. For your glory, I'll tell others of what you've done for me. I'll be an example of somebody that you raised by your mighty power. So Jesus, I surrender. Just tell him that. Now lift those hands all over this room. Miracles are happening. We don't know how long a mother has dreamed of seeing their child in this altar. We don't know how long a father has longed to see their son walk down an aisle. This is a dream fulfilling God. Lift those hands in worship.
Send the angels to rise.
Sing a church. He's holy.
All creation cries.
Holy is the Lord.
Holy.
All of you that's got a dream about your career, I want you just to say, Lord, I'm turning it over to you again. I'm dedicating myself. Get in my dream. On my dream, anoint my dream, because it's going to touch a lot of people. It's going to help a lot of people. It's going to lift a lot of people. Your dream, so give it to God. Holy, come on, let's lift His name. Pray for somebody around you. Just pray for their dream. I stir up that dream. Bless that dream, Lord. Whatever's tried to steal your dream, maybe an addiction has tried to steal your dream, we sever it in the name of Jesus. We break every chain in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, renew minds that are burned out. Renew minds that have been in depression and despondency. Renew the mind. Give new thoughts and new direction and new faith, new dreams. In Jesus' name, praise God. Sing it one more time. Lift your hands all over this building. Man, when I see these young men, I just want to bless their dream. I just want to bless their dream. You can do it, son. Whatever God's calling you to, you can do it. Touch Him, Lord. Give Him a brand new dream. The enemy tells us we don't matter. The enemy tells us that we can't do anything, but we can do all things through Christ. All you women out there, you young ladies, don't you let the enemy limit and tell you are limited. Let God birth in you a dream. Your name. Worship Him, Jesus. Worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Worship Jesus.
worship stands.
Hallelujah. All throne.
In dominions, all power. In the season of your name. Stand above the wall. And the angels arise.
Holy.
And holy. All the ancient cry.
You might have been through a divorce. You're a single mother trying to raise those babies. Life is just beating you down, but God's telling you, I still have a dream. You have to go through the nightmare sometimes to get to the dream. You hold on to God. He's still got a plan. He's going to bless you and your children's children with a mighty dream that'll sustain them, that'll bless them. One more time, sing that chorus. The Holy Spirit is brooding over our dreams this morning. Holy. So holy. So good. Lift your hand up just one moment. Find me just a moment. I want to sing one more chorus and I'm going to let you go. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Lift your hands and sing, Jesus, use me. Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work, for surely there. A dream, a work that I can do. Oh, and even though it's humble, help my will to crumble so yours can be done in my life. Though the cost. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Mark, everything that comes in will go to help children recover from cancer. I want to be a part of that. And this book is so fresh off the press that the only way you can order it is through Amazon online. Go there, take a picture of it. I want to see this book go to number one on Amazon today. And y'all have made that happen for my books. And so everybody, how many of you want to get a book for you and maybe a neighbor and a friend or somebody too? Because I'm telling you, everything he shared up here is in here. It's not just something to read. It's anointed to read. It's gonna stir your dream up and get it. And plus, what a great work you're doing and being a part of. And I want everybody to order Life of Your Dreams, Mark Pentecost. I'm going to ask Mark to pray over every business, every entrepreneur, over every person who may be at a transition, a crossroad. They feel the future kind of stirring in them, but they lack maybe that courage to take a step into the unknown. It's unknown to us, but God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans of good and not evil, to give you hope and give you a future. Would you pray for our congregation and business people? I believe you carry a mantle for that. We love you and we appreciate you. Can we tell him one more time how much we appreciate him? I can't believe he came today and did this for us. Thank you.
All right. So I'm a basketball coach. He has me all worked up. I feel like I'm in the locker room. All right, we're going to do a huddle, but it's God's huddle. And man, see all those young people standing up? Some of you, like that parable, you've been burying your talent. And when people ask me when's enough enough, I realize never. If you keep doing what God wants you, he keeps blessing you more and more. And I just keep dreaming more. Someone said, how do you stay young? I said, I don't look in the mirror. Looking out this way, I almost stood up for under 30. Okay. Seriously, don't bury. Some of you buried your talents. You know you have. Today, sometime when you're alone, say that dream that you've been afraid to say out loud. It will make you proud. Businesses, we were at every level, almost shut down. Start going and can't get product. Start going, product stuck at the border. Always stuff happening. But God is good. Wherever you're at, you're unstuck. You're going today. As Pastor said, take that step. This has been amazing, Pastor. You have a, what if Free Chapel? You're a great church. But what if we went to a whole nother level? And you gave your talents, your resources, and we said, let's go. I think you're going to hear, you already do all over the world, but I think there's another level. He's the real deal. Love him so much. His family, his kids, amazing. All right, I know you told me to pray. Sorry. God's huddle right here. We're unstuck. Lord, be with this group. Bless them. It just blesses your heart. See all these people up here, the young people. I know you have a dream for each one, and they're ready to unbury it. Not bury it, but let it shine. Be with every business, wherever they are, Lord. They're committing their businesses to you. To you, Lord, that as they are successful, they remember it's you and give back to you more and increasingly more. I've watched you in my life take it beyond anything I could imagine. Thank you, Lord. You're a great God. You do what you say. Be with every person here today and from Free Chapel. Let's just take this to another level. We love you. We love you so much. Thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine on you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace and bless your dreams.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.